Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 26. Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, or Noah, so shall it also be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat and they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all. The word them is a supplied word. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop in his stuff. His stuff. Remember, I think I told you one of the conferences, one of the daughters called, I think it was Joan from Mexico, and she said, "What's Dad doing?" to my wife. She looked across at my chair. She said, "He's working on some stuff." So we're going to talk about some stuff here. "And let him not come down and take it away. But he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now just over for a final reading in the book of Genesis. Genesis, please. And verse number 8, chapter 8, rather. Genesis chapter 8. Verse 1. Chapter 7. Let me give you verse 1 there. Chapter 7, verse 1. "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." So you have a righteous man in Noah. And then come over, please, now to chapter 7 and verse number 16. "And they that went in, went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded, and the Lord shut them in." And over to chapter 8, please, and verse number 20. "And Noah building an altar unto the Lord," chapter 8, verse 20, "and took up every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor," must have delighted his heart. "And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of the man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." Now over in chapter 9, and verse number 18, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." And somehow, like you, I'd like it that that chapter ended there. Here's a very bad beginning. Verse 20, "Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent." I'm sorry, but I am not going to read to you the rest of those verses. When the Lord Jesus spoke of these days in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, he was speaking of days relative to his coming back. And no matter whether you want to take it to his return in glory or the rapture, whatever it wanted to be, but there's some kind of a caution, some kind of a warning in the days of the return of the Son of Man, as it was in the days of Lot and as it was in the days of Noah. Now, of course, we will preach this in the Gospel. I would preach it in the Gospel. You would preach it too. And bring out the fact of the provision that is made in the ark and the building of the ark, the salvation, the safety that was found in it, and so on. Very, very true and very, very applicable. I want to simply lift these two men that the Lord Jesus joins together and apply them in our Christian experience today, because They do parallel a lot of what we face today. You see, if you don't want to Hebrews chapter 11, although I did not take the time to read it, it says, "By faith Noah, moved with fear, began to build an ark rather, to the saving of his house," and so on. Moved with fear. What was What really was Noah's fear that day? You say, well, his fear was the judgment of God, the flood that was going to come. Where do you read that? Do you know what his fear was? If you go back to earlier to chapter 8, he was dreadfully afraid of the influence of an antediluvian age or his day. The influence of the day upon his family. And if that ark and the building of it, whether it took the 500 years, whatever it will take in that period of time, so be it. As we're hearing from Brother Fowler this afternoon, the importance of the salvation, the preservation of his family. Now, you would read concerning Noah and Lot, and let's, come on, brethren overseers, if these two men presented themselves for reception into the assembly, they're standing outside the door, and one says, I'm Noah, thinking of coming to be part of the assembly here. And the other one, the other side says, I'm Lot, and I'm coming to be part of the assembly here. Which one would you like to interview first? Come on, that's a no-brainer. You say, just hold for a while. It wouldn't be very nice to do this with so many overseers here. I was going to say, wait for a year and a half, we'll get back to you. Is that how we work? Don't think so. But I would do the same. I'd say, no, come on in here. We glad to have you. You're a great man. The family is saved. Builder of that ark. All the teaching, we've got a place for you. When you get done that interview, you think, you look at the brother, look at each other, and say, now what are we going to do? Well, you go tell him. Now you go tell him. Well, you call him up. You know how that goes? Do nothing. I'm supposing, okay, I'm working the imagination, but finally Lot comes in. He wants to be part of the assembly. And you start thinking, wait a minute now. You went down there to be a missionary, you ended up a merchant. What makes you think you want to be part of this? Well, it is interesting. It's not ironic. It's interesting because it's scriptural that Peter gives the softer side for a man, Lot. And Peter links the two men together too, although I'm not going to take the time to go into that. But Peter tells us about this man, Noah, or rather this man, Lot, and he says concerning him that, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The word vexed is two different words. The first time the word is vexed is that it bothered him. It bothered him. Eventually it tortured his soul. How can we live in such an evil climate today? And we smile. We say, well, it's just our day, you know. We're not living like we were 20 years ago, and we're not in that Victorian age. Nevertheless, notice there's a deeper effect. We become numb to it, brethren and sisters. Give the man Lot credit. But the point is this. Here are two men. I'll deal with Mrs. Lot a little later on. Here's two men that had equal joy in seeing their family saved. There are two men that start out with everything going for them, and they ended up with everything going against them. You know why? They both ended up the same way. They both ended up, drunkards. Now, somehow with Lot, you see, you would look at it, and I would have to confess to the Savior, you say, what would you expect? What did you expect? You know, we see believers, and they take a path, they take a course, and whatever happens, and you say, well, what did they expect? They just rewrote the recipe for disastrous decisions, and we write them off. Or do we? What are you going to do with a man when you come to a man like Noah? Let's just go back to Noah for a minute and come quickly to the other, and I certainly will be considered the time, plenty of time for another. Coming back to this man, Noah. Noah's fear? Noah's family, Noah's faith, Noah's failure. There were days that were marked by the moving of the Spirit of God. Okay, here was a man that never lost sight of that. And brothers and sisters, do not think that the days of the moving of the Spirit of God were for the day of Pentecost. Nothing's happened since. God still by His Spirit moves, and you know that. And Noah was conscious of that. And he wanted somehow to grasp the blessing as a result. of God moving in spirit and the salvation of his family. They were days that were marked by, as I say, by the moving of the Spirit of God. They were days of cruelty. They were days of corruption. They were days of carelessness. That's the world we live in today. I didn't come this far to tell you something you already know. We live in those kind of days. We live in a very, very cruel world. Isn't it nice to be among the people of God? I'm looking in the faces of students, university, high school, men that will go back and work with these ungodly characters Monday morning. One of our brethren, they're not here today, so I use his name, Norm Thibodeau. He and his son work in rebar on construction sites on that new four-lane highway going down from St. John to St. Stephen. He told me himself personally. A lot of the assembly don't know it, except they know it from me saying it. He's on the door one day. He says, Patrick bothers nobody on the job. Patrick, he says, doesn't speak to him, but he says, I do. I looked over there one day, and a big fella had Patrick down on the ground in construction clothes. Great big fella. And his hand on his neck. The thing flashed in my mind, I've got to protect my boy. On my way, I said, this is because I preach to these men. Days of cruelty. Sometimes, brethren, we don't know much about it because we don't say much. We don't speak out. Now, this man was, both these men are men that were righteous men. Not only days of cruelty, days of corruption, and days of carelessness, but they're days of distraction. They were just getting on with their lives. I mean, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Come on, give Lot's wife some credit, brethren. Let's not be too hard on her. She raised a family of values in such a corrupt day. They understood the marriage vow and the marriage bond. They were taking wives when the men of the day were taking others. You know what I mean. But as you go down, you start to read about Noah, you know, when you're reading about him, you know, there's no great opposition to the building of the ark. Or is it? There's nobody that's really trying to lynch the preacher or as an unwanted missionary. It's like, get him out of here. There's not really a lot of opposition. Likely he was more being mocked and laughed at and the joke of it. Just kind of the butt of their jokes. Sometimes that's harder, isn't it, than if they physically grabbed you? And sometimes that kind of scorn, you take it. You do. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, do you know why Christians suffer? He says, really, they're the only ones that can take it. Well, I'm not sure how much I take or put up with, but there's lots to do, okay? But that was the day that this man would live in. Now, here's Noah in the ark, and think of all the distress and the maybe days of when he's even depressed and he's in that ark. Somehow you wish it was like a conference. It would just keep going on until you got to heaven. There's a day came when he had to leave that ark. That was likely the most unhappy day in his life. Noah must have looked back and thought, whatever did I leave it for? Could I not let those animals go and let whatever go? Just simply go back into that ark. Let God shut me in. It was a beautiful place of safety. In the midst of the judgment of God about to fall, building it, living in it, was a place of safety. And just as we've been hearing, there's no place safer than God's assembly for a child of God. It is handcrafted. It is built. It is designed by God for that purpose. But he built two things that were bigger than he was. He built an ark. Unfortunately, he built a vineyard. It was bigger than Noah was. He didn't realize that. Maybe he did about the ark, but what about the vineyard when it comes to building that? You see, there's a very subtle thing that's happening here with Noah. First of all, there is drunkenness. Then there is drowsiness. You know what comes next? You know what comes next? Nakedness. One of our brethren were encouraging, I know Mr. Penfold was at the Sussex Conference, not just our sisters, but our brethren as well. Just let me say, to be adequately and properly dressed. A girl said to me, I didn't answer. At the bank the other day, and I'm standing, you know how far you stand from the bank? I had a choice. I could allow my eyes to go where they shouldn't. This is one day for all you that want to beat up on a cell phone that wasn't bad. I could read my messages, which I happen to make choice to do. That's the world we live in, brothers and sisters. Do you get it? Drunkenness leads to drowsiness. Drowsiness leads to nakedness. Now, you know, you think of that altar that was built and, somehow you'd think, well, he'll gather his family around this altar now. Oh, where's the family? They've likely gone off. Don't they say today, oh, they're doing their own thing after all. We can't really control them and did that happen while you were in the ark? No, it didn't. And if you took this man and put him into our generation, and maybe he wasn't coming out with the gospel, but he said, well, the family's saved. Do you think I really need to go? And listen, you're not doing prayer meetings like you used to do. Remember when you were so committed to prayer meetings, you wouldn't think of leaving. You'd come home and you'd go to them without your supper. How do you make out today? Have these indispensable meetings of the assembly suddenly started to shrink in value in your experience? You want to be mightily careful. And you'd say, Noah, we used to see at the conferences. It's kind of boring and really. I get just as much as I sit home and I listen to somebody out in the evangelical circle. Well, whatever. But brethren and sisters, let's face it, whether we like to or not, whether this sounds like old hat or not, the people that number our assemblies today invariably were taken to the coffers by their parents. Even when they were in their sins. You do the numbers. You go do the count. You find the same thing. This brings into another area. There's temptations out there. I have never preached on it. I've had people write me about it, approach me about the dangers of social drinking, and there's the dangers of social drinking. If you don't think there are, then you are telling me that you are a brighter man than Lot. You are telling me that you're a bigger man than Samson. And you are telling me that you are a better man than Noah. Now, I know it does not read of drunkenness when it comes to Samson, but nevertheless, there was the temptation of the vine. It was very interesting. I was just noticing lately that how God instructs so carefully the mother of a man like Samson. Don't you touch it. Don't go near it. In other words, don't put something into your bloodstream that you'll pass to him. So we often preach salvation doesn't run in the bloodstream, but sin does. Is there something you're allowing in your bloodstream today that's going to be the result of a contamination in the children? Is there going to be kind of confusions in their mind and say, well, listen, you can't fool the kids. Sorry for the expression, but you can't. They know what your values are. They know what's important to you. And you have to say, now, listen, I just do this. We're going to go, we're going to do this. You make sure that there has to be no contamination, no confusion. And on top of that, no confessions. Now let's come back to this man Lot, just very quickly. It's interesting how many times Lot is mentioned in our Bible. Take a man like Elijah, he's mentioned 99 times. Elijah. How many times do you think Lot is? You say, well, 9, 10? How about 111? You know what that tells me? I'm more apt to go his way than the way of an Elijah. A lot of warnings that are given concerning Lot. Now, just with Lot. Just don't know what to cut out here, what to cut out. There was never a dismissive attitude with Uncle Abraham when it came to Lot, because, Abraham had to shoulder some kind of responsibility because he took him down to Egypt. He took him down there. Once he got to see that, everything was judged on the level of an Egypt. And that's why constantly Abraham could have looked to Lot and said, well, what'd you expect, man? What'd you expect? He never takes that dismissive attitude to him. Do you know what he did? He bore responsibility for the decisions of a weaker brother. You prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do that? Shoulder the responsibilities of wrong decisions of a weaker brother. Can you help him out? Can you help her out? Older sisters seek to guide younger ones. And you say, she's so old. I know what she's going to say. Never mind. What is she seeking? Your preservation, that's all. What are those brethren, those shepherds seeking in your life. Exactly the same thing. However, as you come down with Lot, the same thing. Same thing with Lot. Look how Noah's days were permissive days. Anything goes. They just got on with their living. The days of Lot were perverted days. They were perverted days. But something else happens. That these days characterized just before his coming. Now, intoxication. Okay? Being filled with the wrong spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, we're there in chapter 5 today. Being filled with the wrong spirit, what does it produce? Well, what happens when you read about men in the Bible and those in the Bible when it's just prior to the return? Okay? Well, Matthew chapter 24, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, but and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, what's he start to do? Picks his Bible up and says, this is what I've been enjoying. Hope it'll preserve you. No, it doesn't say that. It says he starts to smite his brethren. Last days are mentioned, are marked by thugs. Thugs. No thugs here today, are they? Men that would smite their fellow servant? Might men that would fight smite their fellow brother? Men that would smite a shepherd? Let me say something. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Let me take it out of its context and give it just a very practical application. You be careful what you say about the shepherds that seek to guide for God. You smite them, young man, and you'll scatter the sheep. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Thugs. Marked by another kind of people. Called a thief. The Lord again in Luke chapter 12 says, but know that if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would have come, or what watch he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house, to be broken up. What has the thief been subtly stealing out of your house? What valuables has he been taken out of your house? You know what he is interested in? Things that are valuable to God. Things that you want prized. As we've been hearing together, calling the family together and reading, praying with them. There's so many things that are valuable in your house. You watch out for the thugs. And you watch out for the thieves. But there's another kind. John chapter 11. What does Martha say? Mary eventually too. If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. That's the thin skin. We don't have those today, do we? You know, you just... you say, yeah, it can't always be hard and tough like you are. Well, whatever. Not sure as I'm as tough as you think I am. I've been shot at lots. You know that. Thin skin. Nope. Just can't say it. They're gone. You said that about my boy? The thugs. The thieves, and the thin-skinned, are people that mark days, as the Lord Jesus said, just before he comes back. May the Lord preserve us, brethren. Remember, I started the same way as you did, at Salvation's Night. Not taking what we've been hearing today. I started with a legacy. I started in a home where I had, like many I'm looking at today, everything going for me. I hope you pray for us. I know you do. Young brethren and older ones, that you don't end your days with everything going against you.